Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for that music. That was very nice. It is a wonderful drive to come over here in the morning. It's kind of misty this morning, a little foggy, but it's always nice to drive over here to Cambridge. I didn't drive, my wife drove, but I'll give her the credit, but it was still nice. I want to start with how many therapists does it take to change a light bulb? One, but the light bulb really has got to want to change. How many chiropractors does it take to change a light bulb? Just one, but it takes six visits. And how many times, I can say this without Mr. Hargrove here, but how many times does it take your pastor to change a light bulb? We don't know because everyone fell asleep while he was giving a sermon on it. So I'll tell him I said that. So I want to read a story. It's a little bit longer than I usually like to read, but I'm going to read a story for you, if bear with me. Bill was driving home one evening on a two-lane country road. Work in the small Midwestern community was almost as slow as his beat-up Pontiac, but he never quit looking. Ever since the factory closed, he had been unemployed, and with winter raging on, the chill had finally hit home. It was a lonely road. Not very many people had reason to be on it, unless they were leaving. Most of his friends had already left. They had families to feed and dreams to fulfill, but he stayed on. After all, this was where he buried his mother and father. He was born here and knew the country. He could go down this road blind and tell you all what was on his side. With his headlights not working, that came in handy. It was starting to get dark and light. Snow flurries were coming down. He'd better get a move on. You know, he almost didn't see the old lady standing on the side of the road, but even in the dim light of day, he could see she needed help. So he pulled up in front of her Mercedes and got out. His Pontiac was still sputtering when he approached the car. Even with a smile on his face, she was worried. No one had stopped to help for the last hour or so. Was he going to hurt her? He didn't look safe. He looked poor and hungry. He could see that she was frightened, standing out there in the cold. He knew how she felt. It was that chill that only fear can put in you. He said, "I'm here to help you, ma'am. Why don't you wait in the car where it's warm? And by the way, my name is Bill." Well, all she had was a flat tire, but for an old lady, that was bad enough. Bill crawled into the car, looked for a place to put the jack, skinned his knees and his knuckles. Soon he was able to change the tire, but he had to get dirty and his hands hurt. As he was tying up the lug nuts, she rolled out her window and began to talk to him. She told him that she was from St. Louis and was just only passing through. She couldn't thank him enough for coming to her aid. Bill just smiled as he closed the trunk. She asked him how much she owed him. Any amount would have been all right with her. She had already imagined all the awful things that could have happened had he never stopped. Bill never thought twice about the money. This was not a job to him. This was someone in need, and God knows there were plenty who had given to him in the past. He had lived his whole life that way, and it had never occurred to him to act any other way. He told her that if she really wanted to pay him back, the next time she saw someone who needed help, she could give that person the assistance that they needed. And Bill added, "And think of me." He waited till she started her car and drove off. It had been cold and a depressing day, but he felt good as he headed home, disappearing into the twilight. A few miles down the road, the lady saw a small cafe. She went in to grab a bite to eat to take the chill off her before she made the last leg of her trip home. It was a dingy-looking restaurant. Outside were two old gas pumps. The whole scene was unfamiliar to her. The cash register was like the telephone of an out-of-work actor. It didn't ring much. Her waitress came over and brought a clean towel to wipe her wet hair. She had a sweet smile, one that even being on her feet for the whole day couldn't erase. The lady noticed that the waitress was nearly 8 months pregnant, but she never let the strain and aches change her attitude. The old lady wondered how someone who had so little could be so giving to a stranger. Then she remembered Bill. After the lady finished her meal and the waitress went to get the change from a $100 bill, the lady slipped right out the door. She was gone by the time the waitress came back. She wondered where the lady could be. Then she noticed something written on a napkin. There were tears in her eyes when she read that the lady wrote. It said, "You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone once helped me out the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you." Well, there were tables to clear, sugar bowls to fill, and people to serve, but the waitress made it through another day. That night when she got home from work and climbed into bed, she was thinking about the money and what the lady had written. How could she have known how much she and her husband needed it? With the baby due next month, it was going to be hard. She knew how worried her husband was, and as he lay sleeping next to her, she gave him a soft kiss and whispered in a soft and low voice, "Everything's going to be all right. I love you, Bill." It's about shining your light. Bill shone his light. Bill had nothing, but he shone his light to a lady in need. That lady obviously didn't know that waitress was Bill's wife, but she shone her light by giving back. We live in a dark, dark world. It was kind of dark coming in this morning because it was foggy. But you know, we live in a dark world. You turn on the news, you turn on the TV, it's dark out there. And sometimes it's hard to see any light. It can be overwhelming. But isn't it nice when we run into a Bill? When we see a Bill out there shining his light, gives us a better day. 7 years ago, my eldest son was driving in Indianapolis, and it was at night, and his car broke down on the side of the road, and a Bill showed up and helped him. He was scared, but helped him get the tire on, whatever it was, he needed a flat tire, but made us feel very thankful that there are Bills out there, people out there shining their light. And today I want to talk to you about shining our lights. How can we shine our lights and make paths easier for someone else to follow? Light is very important. Let's go back to very beginning, Genesis 1. Let's start in verse 3. Genesis 1, verse 3. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Light was one of the first things mentioned in the Bible, first things created. Light is very important. I have 3 points I would like to discuss today about shining our lights. Number one is see the light. Please turn with me to Psalm 27, please. Psalm 27, 1. In Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" David writes that God, Jesus Christ, is his light, the light of the universe. So if you would, let's turn to Matthew 4, all the way to the New Testament, Matthew 4, verse 15. This is Matthew's quoting from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned." Here he is telling us, those in darkness have seen light. Light has dawned. If we read verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Light, Jesus Christ, has dawned on earth. He brought his light, and Jesus began his preaching. A new great light has dawned upon mankind in the name of Jesus Christ. But you know what? When he came, we know the story. All of us, most of us here are familiar with that. He was not accepted. Men sometimes don't like the night or light. They like the night. They don't like the light. Let's read it, if you would, in John 3. John 3, verses 19 to 21. Jesus is speaking here. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may be in God. Those who do good seek light. They're naturally drawn to light. Those who want to do evil look for darkness to cover themselves and to cover their sins. A very wise person, my mother-in-law, she always tells, not always, but often tells my boys that nothing good ever happens after midnight. She doesn't want them outside after midnight. She wants them home safely. But it's a true statement. Nothing good often happens in the dark. We should be drawn to the light. And here's a quote. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. That's Martin Luther King. Light drives out darkness. The great light of Jesus Christ drives out darkness. Another quote, light gives of itself freely, filling all available space. It does not seek anything in return. It asks not whether you are a friend or a foe. It gives of itself and is not thereby diminished. Michael Strasfeld. Jesus is our light. Turn with me to John 8:36. That's not where I wanted. Anyway, it's in John somewhere. It says that Jesus Christ is light. It's very plain. I apologize. I don't know what it is right now. It was in my Bible last night. I don't know what happened to it. Anyway, Jesus is the light. He is the light that we need to see. Point number one, again, is see the light. Point number two is reflect the light. Some years ago, on returning from a business trip, a man brought his wife some souvenirs. Among them was a matchbox that could glow in the dark. After giving it to her, he turned out the light, but the object was not visible. "This must be a joke," she said. Disappointed, the husband commented, "I've been cheated." Then his wife noticed some foreign words on the box. Taking it to a friend who knew the language, she was told that the directions read, "If you want me to shine at night, keep me in the sunlight all day." So she put her gift in a south window. That evening, when she turned out the light, the matchbox had a brilliant glow. The surprised husband asked, "What did you do?" "Oh, I found the secret," she said. "Before it can shine in the dark, it must be exposed to the light." And just as a matchbox, having been exposed to the sun, took on the nature of the sun and began to shine, so Christians, being exposed to the light of Jesus Christ, exposing themselves to the sun, we can shine. We can shine in this dark world because we are to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to Exodus 33. Here, Moses is on Mount Sinai talking with God about the children of Israel, which they talked a lot about. Moses, again, is frustrated because the children, as we know from the story we read previously in Exodus, they had made the golden calf. They were partying and celebrating all night, doing a lot of bad things, coveting, as we heard in the sermon, the first part of the sermon, coveting the wrong kind of things, putting something in front of God. They actually made an idol. Moses needed reassurance from God, And he asked God, he says, can you show us more of your presence? Can you be out there in front of us? The people need to see that. They need to see you. Let's start reading in verse 14. This is 33, verse 14. And he said, this is God, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we should be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. That I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses wanted to see the face of God, which is something we all want to see someday. But God said, you know, if you see my face, it's going to kill you. You know, so let's put you in this cleft. I'll walk by. You can see my glory. Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days with God. They went over the holy days. They went over the Sabbath days. They went over a lot of what Israel was supposed to be doing. Let's start reading again in chapter 34, verse 28. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets on the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he walked, while he talked with him. And so when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron, and all the rulers of the congregation returned to them, and Moses talked with them. Verse 33, and when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until they came out, and he would come out and speak to the children of Israel, whatever he had commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until they went in to speak with him again. Moses had seen the back of God. He walked by when he was in a cleft, and his face shone brightly. So bright that he had to put a veil on him to talk to the people who were afraid of him, because that would be quite the scene. But he was reflecting the glory of God, of Jesus Christ, to the whole camp of Israel. Would have been an amazing scene to see. When we come before God, when we put ourselves in the presence of God, when we come to services, when we get on our knees and we pray, does our face shine when we get up? Do we reflect that light of Jesus Christ? Please turn to Psalm 4, verse 6. Psalm 4, verse 6. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. In the NIV it reads, many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. We want to glow with the light of Jesus Christ. I looked at on Bing about some of the aspects of light, and I wanted to look up, and one of them was reflection. And this is what it says. It says, in reflection, a light ray strikes a smooth surface, such as a mirror, and bounces off. A reflected ray always comes off the surface of a material at an angle equal to the angle at which the incoming ray hit the surface. In physics, you'll hear this called the law of reflection. Of course, we live in an imperfect world, and not all surfaces are smooth. When light strikes a rough surface, incoming light rays reflect at all sorts of angles because the surface is uneven. This scattering occurs in many of the objects we encounter every day. The surface of paper is a good example. You can see just how rough it is as if you peered under a microscope. When light hits paper, the waves are reflected in all directions. This is what makes paper so incredibly useful. You can read the words on a printed page regardless of the angle at which your eyes view the surface. So in our world, as we think about the light of Jesus Christ, his light, and we have uneven surfaces, his light shines on us. It bounces off of us. And as we read about the uneven surface, it scatters. So his light comes on us and it scatters to other people, for other people to see. And also, as like with paper, when his light shines on us, it helps people see us better, see us differently. I always like to tell the kids don't like to be different. You know, teenagers, they like to be conformed. Or say, you know what, when you're in God's church, you're going to be different. But it's a good difference, not a weird difference. Some people may say it's weird, but it's a good difference. And people are going to see that difference when that light bounces off of us. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God has given us his light to be in our hearts and to bounce off of us and to help and to encourage others. We are to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Point number three, be the light. Another quote is that the hero is one who kindles a great light in the world, who sets up blazing torches in the dark streets of life for men to see by. The saint is the man who walks through the dark paths of the world, himself a light. Felix Adler. Imagine that you were in a cave 250 feet below the surface of the earth. You're down there with 40, 50 other people. The cave is artificially lit, as no daylight reaches its interior. Suddenly, the lights go out. I'm not seeing if anybody's gone to mammoth caves or anything like that. They shut off the lights, and it's kind of creepy down there. The darkness closes in and encases you like a glove. You can't see the hand in front your hand in front of your face, or anyone else's hand in front of your face. No one makes a sound. Total darkness, total silence, total stillness. You're in the heart of the earth. Then your guide either strikes a match or lights a lighter. Just a little light. And that thick, black darkness disappears. Just a little light. And pretty soon you can start seeing things around you. The light from one match can illuminate almost a whole cave. You can see everyone there. It's amazing. All it takes to dispel darkness is a little light. One person's tiny light. You don't have to overwhelm those you meet with your knowledge or wisdom. You know, you don't have to blast it all out there, but just be a light. Turn with me to Matthew 5. 14, please. Matthew 5, 14. Very familiar scripture. 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do we see why we have to let our light shine? Verse 16 says again, so men will see your good works, and the more important aspect is so they can glorify our Father in heaven. When we become a light and we help others see God. Please turn to Luke 11. Luke 11:33. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. A lamp or a light is usually displayed. And just as we read in Matthew, we are on display for the glory of God. We should be a shining beacon. As people see us, we represent. We're one of those commercials, but for God and for His way of life. This is a dark world we live in. I remember years ago, my wife and I, we lived in Pasadena for a number of years, and where we lived, it was city, and it never really got quite dark. I mean, you turn off the lights, I mean, you can see lights and airplanes and helicopters and police cars and all that kind of good stuff around that were always going on. But we took a trip back east to visit her brother at the time, who lived on a farm. And I remember going into the bedroom, and we turned off the lights, and it was completely black. And I remember I went to sleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I couldn't see a thing. I mean, I couldn't see my hand. I couldn't see anybody's hand. It was just dark, and it was frightening because it was so dark. We weren't used to that. Until I finally got my watch out, or I don't think I had cell phones at the time, but we found a light, and it was comforting to see that light, to see. This is comforting. We can be a comforting light. You know, there's people out there that are in darkness. You know, I'm working with people right now, two friends at work, they're going through marital problems, and they go home at night, and it's dark. They don't have the peace of mind that we share, that we have, that we know. And you know, and I feel, I want to give them a lighter. I want to give them a light bulb to take home with them because they don't have that light. It's dark at home. And, it's sad. And it's so nice when we come to our homes and the lights are on. Let's turn to Isaiah, please, and see something interesting over there. If we're to share this light with others, Isaiah 42, verse 6, please. Isaiah 42, verse 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. Isn't that a comforting thought? God's going to hold your hand. And will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison's house. God has made us a light. We're going to be a light to the Gentiles. We're going to share our light with them so they can see as we see and know what we know. Let's go to chapter 49, Isaiah 49, verse 6, a couple pages over. Isaiah 49, 6. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the reserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." We're going to be lights. Lights in this world. Lights to those who don't have lights in their homes right now. Lights to those who are in darkness. Another quote, "We are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody else it does. Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to themselves. They just shine." That's from Dwight L. Moody. Lighthouses shine for the protection of others. We shine for the glory of God. Two of my favorite chapters in the Bible are Revelation 21 and Revelation 22. Because you know what, I like to read books, and I always like to, I don't do it, but I always think about sneaking ahead to see what happens. And in Revelation 21 and Revelation 22, we know what happens. It's the end of the book. You know, Mr. Armstrong used to say years ago, when you pick up the Bible, you know the end, and we win. That's kind of cool to think that. We win. We want to win. Let's go to Revelation 21, please. This is the end of the story. This is the they lived happily ever after. Except this is real. It's not a fairy tale. This is the truth. Revelation 21. "In this new Jerusalem, Jesus Christ and God the Father will be the true lights of the city." Revelation 21, verse 23. "The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it." We will be walking in the light of this city. We'll be walking in the light of the Lamb. Now in chapter 22, verse 4. "They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There should be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." We will be full of the light of Jesus Christ and God the Father. We will glow with the light of God Himself. And we will reign and share that light and be a light forever and ever. We will see the light. We will reflect that light. And we will be that light.